Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Jordan Valdez, Tim Miller, Jazz Ed Maja, Chris Fuchs, Thomas Navin, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mikindo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Cameron Minard, Gavante Chillis, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Adam Parker, Tom Gerke, and Eddie Bissell. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by visiting patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and this week I'm joined by, from Krypton Site and K-Site TV, an author of Smallville, The Official Companion, Season 4, Mr. Craig Byrne. What's up, Craig?
It's nice to be on again. You know, I know you weren't as big of a fan of Season 4 as I was, and as others might be, but I'm glad we're here to talk about it.
Yes, yeah, so this is going to be fun. And now Smallville, it started to do this thing where the season premieres and sometimes the finales were two-parters.
Yeah.
They weren't like really like part one and part two, but they were really closely tied together episodes. And there was so much to kind of clean up after season finales. It made sense for there to be two-parters. Now, Crusade was its own deal. Gone is part two because it kind of follows some plot threads from that. It's going to be interesting to talk about this because, as you said, I've been on record saying I wasn't the biggest fan of Season 4, but I'm really, really, really enjoying certain parts of it, and the other parts I'm really, really, really remembering why I didn't like it, and we're gonna get into it in our conversation here.
You know what I found when I was writing the Season 4 companion guide and rewatching the episodes? I liked them a lot more once we knew where the season was going. Like, watching at the time, you're like, what is this stupid witch thing going on? Like, why did Jason come all the way over here? Like, can we please see Margot Kidder come back? You know, we had all these things that we, you know, were expecting and wanting and had no idea where the story was going. But once you've seen the entire season, you can kind of go back and be like, oh, so this was dropped here. This was played here. Okay, I see what's going on. And like I said, some of my favorite episodes are in season four. I mean, Crusade is in my top 10, Run, Transference, Commencement. They're all fantastic episodes.
Onyx, I'd put that one on
Onyx,
the list.
Yeah. Wait, was Onyx season 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I kept thinking it was 5, but yeah, you're right. It's 4. Yeah,
and that's it. Those are all the good episodes of season 4. Now,
villain of this story.
Let me ask you this, Craig. You know, going into season 4, it's a major shift from season 3. We were talking about this when we talked about Covenant, the season 3 finale. What did you think when you were the Smallville hub of news, Krypton Site, right? And they're getting these stories like they're casting Lois Lane, they're casting this new character called Jason Teague. Like, what were your thoughts going into season 4?
Well, what I remember more than anything is this news broke about a week before the press tour. And, you know, back then, you know, people weren't as plugged in as they are now. But I remember the Erica Durant's Lois Lane thing, I think, leaked a couple days early. And I remember posting it on the site, obviously, and just thinking, this is such a cool idea. And I remember Demon sent me, like, a photo of the makeup test for Erica as Lois. And I was like, wow, she looks beautiful. She's going to be great. But, yeah, so there was that. And then Jensen Ackles was somebody who I had seen in other things over the years. He actually did a pilot like the year before he got Smallville called Still Life that never even aired. But I always liked him and stuff when he was on like Dawson's Creek or Dark Angel or like even Days of Our Lives. You know, he was somebody like reliable and a good actor. And apparently he had auditioned for Clark. And so, you know, like I was excited to see Jensen coming on. obviously Jensen Ackles fans were very excited. I remember like affiliating with one of those groups, one of those websites before, you know, he even came onto the show. So it was really exciting. And also, I mean, you might've talked about this with Crusade, but I was excited to get new opening titles because season three, they didn't change them.
They really got lazy.
Yeah,
didn't but change it at all.
I'm kind of bummed that the DVDs do not have the version of the titles without Allison Mack in them.
Thank you. I brought that up talking about Crusade. Now, was that in just Crusade, or was it in Crusade and Gone back?
It was Crusade and Gone, and oddly enough, it would have made sense to have her in Crusades because she was the first person we saw in that episode. I think
that's the irony, right? So I wonder. I mean, do you remember, like, how did they credit her then? If she wasn't in the main credits, it was like in the end credits, maybe?
I don't think they did. I think that what I'm assuming happened is they probably made a deal with Allison and her managers or whatever. Can we take you off, but in repeats, we'll put you back in? And that's probably why we have this. But they could have put the other opening credits as a DVD extra or something.
Yeah, now I have those. And by the time that this podcast goes out, I will have posted this online because I found a very low-res version of the original season four opening credits without her in it.
But I remember videotaping it and, like, watching the credits over and over again. Just, it was so exciting. But also, like, I remember being at the season four premiere party for Smallville and seeing the new opening titles on the screen, and then there's that shot of, like, Cal flying, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because it's before you see it in the episode. Yeah,
yeah. So. I miss shows having opening titles, too. But, yeah, going in, I think there was a lot of optimism. I think there was the criticism at the time. And you see this with shows like The Flash and Arrow, too, ran into it, where it was like, season three was so dark, we're going to lighten it up for season four. And that was the intention. That's why they went back to doing high school stories, for better or for worse. And yeah, and I mean, we talked about this on the last show I did with you after Covenant. Everybody wanted to know what was happening next. And the other thing I'm going to say about this period of time is I don't think anybody had any clue how long Erica Durance was going to be a part of the series.
That is something I definitely wanted to ask you because when she was first cast, it was like a 2-episode deal, then it was a 4, then it was a half season. Kind of speak to that if you can.
But you watch Crusade and Gone, and it feels like that was what they thought was all they're going to have of Lois at first. And then they did that whole thing where they pulled out of their ass that she didn't graduate high school, which was really stupid. Sorry, Alan Miles, if you're listening. That was really stupid. I also think these two episodes, Crusade and Gone, were two of my favorite Erica Durance Lois episodes.
Yes, that is a great point because I one of the reasons I didn't like season four and a lot of Americans are saying this, like, they had Lois around, but they couldn't make her Lois, so they just had her do silly stuff. And you had Chloe over here being Lois, and they just couldn't figure out what to do with both of them at the same time, unfortunately. But in these two episodes, she's totally Lois, and they kind of force it a little too much. Like, she's calling him Smallville and stuff, and I'm like, they live in Smallville. They are in Smallville. You can't call someone Smallville when you live there. Like, so later on, it didn't make so much sense. Like, when she was just staying there and visiting, like, I bought it, you know. But when she lived there for the next 6 years and she's still calling him Smallville, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
No, but I like that she was scrappy. I like that she investigated. It's just very Lois Lane.
And I really like the scene with her and Lionel in Crusade. Yeah. And then John Glover said in the companion here that they had expected to work more together, but then they just never forgot. Did. So yeah.
I think they had Thanksgiving dinner together 1 year.
I think so. I love posting that every Thanksgiving. It's so awkward.
Yeah. But it's like Annette O'Toole said in the season 6 companion guide that even though it was like really stupid, it was a lot of fun just to have everybody back together. But we'll talk about that when we get to Rage, which was pretty much Mirakuru from Arrow 15 years later. But,
Thank you. Totally. You want to be on Rage?
I will be on Rage, yes.
All right. I will be on Rage. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like the investigation part. I thought that Lois was a force to be reckoned with, whereas I think sometimes, like, I remember being really bothered by Lois, particularly, like, once you got to, like, Krypto, where pretty much she was just there to make fun of Clark.
She became like Britta on Community. It's like she stayed around too long, and they kind of changed course with the character. And you're right, she was there just there to annoy Clark, and they had this real brotherly, sisterly vibe. which made it awkward when they got together later. And we're like, well, you guys had this other dynamic going on already. And totally, like, and Lois had showed up in these two episodes and, like, appeared sporadically throughout the show. That would have been better because, again, I think I understand why they want to keep her around and keep Erica Durance around, but I think it did a disservice to the characters having her go in circles for several years, and that's my take on it.
And unfortunately, the whole thing about the high school not graduating was
it just makes her look dumb.
That's the thing too. Like, I mean, I know on Television Without Pity, there were a lot of people who would pick on Erica's Lois, call her Nois, you know, say that Chloe is the real Lois because this Lois is not the iconic Lois Lane, etc. But these two episodes, she's very much like the Margot Kidder Lois Lane. So, I don't know. But it didn't help, though, that the writers would have her fall into these things, like, you know, getting drunk or sleeping with multiple members of the Justice League. But you know what I mean? It's like they were reading the stuff on Television Without Pity that they were making fun of Lois for, and they instead did more of it.
They did more of it.
It's like so your dog though. Craps on the floor. Instead of like thinking, oh, I shouldn't do that anymore, the dog craps more.
It's so true, though. And that's why Lois on the show was such a complicated deal. I think that's a great point, Craig. I think they made her stupid for the sake of comedy, and that hurt the character for a long run here, I think.
And it's unfortunate because I think Erica can do comedy really well. Mm-hmm. And I thought her and Tom had that really good bounce off in these first two episodes. But also, it's like one of those things, kind of going back to what you said, if, say, Lois had been in these two episodes and then been gone indefinitely until after Superman Returns failed.
And then they let her come back on the show for,
you know, like, especially if it was around the time, like, Kristen left the show.
Uh-huh. And then make a real transition, because it looked like they were trying to do that here, because as we talked about, they had no idea the show was going to run for 10 years.
No.
Season 4, season 5, they're wrapping it up. It really looks like the handoff between Lana and Lois is happening now.
And I love that. We'll get to that scene in particular where, you know, the two of them drive together. And, you know, like the best ones always start that way, which was a great line. But yeah, it's just, it's weird. Erica was great. I mean, I know there are people who weren't fans, but I mean, I think watching Gone Again especially made me appreciate her even more, like in retrospect. Like,
absolutely. I, as you know, I'm the biggest Clark shipper and Clovis theory guy in the world, right? So I was all about that. But, you know, looking back at it, I'm on board. Just at the time, I just had a chip on my shoulder about that. Like a lot of people on the internet did. Like, oh, what are you talking about? Chloe's Lois. She's been here for 3 years. Who's this coming in here shaking things up? You know, but in retrospect, it works.
Okay, so we need to start talking about this episode because we've already been going like 10, 15, 20 minutes, and you know how we get long.
That's right. So I don't want you to be gone before we finish. So let's get into it.
Let's start this crusade. We're not going to put on a facade that we're going to be like 5 hours long.
I am devoted to finishing this episode, Craig.
Hey, you keep this up and I'm going to run.
What's the next after transference? I can't use that in a sense.
Anyway,
all right, let's go. Right, I don't want to scare you. Let's get into it.
Just keep me under your spell.
Lana, you're back.
Hey.
Lois, how did you two?
We just met. I stopped by the cemetery to pay my respects to Chloe.
I think you're forgetting about the part where you saved my life. Some Ginsu boy came after us at Chloe's grave.
Look, Clark, if you really think that Chloe's alive, I want to help find her.
Lana, look, I don't want to get your hopes up, but we don't know anything for sure.
Okay.
You're back from Paris, you must have found what you were looking for.
I'll say. Who wouldn't want a hot summer fling in the most romantic city on Earth?
I was going to tell you.
It's okay.
Really? You too.
We never...
Not really.
...had a thing.
It's complicated.
a complicated thing. Never mind. Well, I'm gonna go. The awkward tension is just getting started.
Gone is the second episode of Smallville's fourth season. It aired on September 29th, 2004. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by James Marshall. So unlike the season premieres, we actually got a previously on Smallville this week, so that was very helpful. It's interesting when you go back and you watch the DVDs or on Hulu, they don't have previously on Smallville's for like the season premieres.
Probably because they got to clear the guest actors. No, I'm serious.
Well, no, I think it was part of, like, WB back in the day was part of, like, the commercials, like, promotional, like, before it started, and it wasn't part of the episode, like it is on Arrow and Flash and all these episodes now. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. So it gave us a lot of clips about, kind of informing us of the new situation from season three of Chloe and Lionel and killing his parents and all that stuff. So anyway, we get all that. Then we get the last scene from the last episode. We have Clark x-raying Chloe's grave, which I thought was, you know, kind of weird. I mentioned that last week. Why would he do that?
Why didn't he do it earlier? Like, did she have a funeral? Oh, yeah, he was out of town.
Yeah, he was in the cave wall.
Yeah, never mind.
So...
And Lana didn't come because she was in Paris getting boned by Dean Winchester.
Well, we'll get to him at the end of the episode. But
or not getting boned, as the case may be, as we found later.
As we found out in Mortal, that's correct. You and Alicia? No. You and Jason? No. Anyway, we pick up from where last week left off. We have Clark and Lois in the mountains of Kansas going to Chloe's safe house, or ex-safe
house.
Which
did not look like the house that blew up. It looked like a small shack in the middle of, like, it looked like one room.
As Lex established, you know, there was nothing left to salvage because it obliterated an entire acre. Allegedly.
Yeah, we saw like complete like walls of the building still standing. But let's go on.
So I did notice there was a lot of ADR here, like very clear. I could tell the difference. You know,
I'm sure it was windy.
Yeah, because they're out, you know, again in the mountains of Kansas,
in the prairies.
Yeah,
all
so,
the flatlands.
So they're looking around the safe house. They're just for any kind of evidence of how Chloe might have survived. And this helicopter comes, and they drop down this, you know, these special agents to, you know, scare off Lois and Clark. And Lois starts running away, and Clark just kicks these guys' ass, which is pretty cool to see, huh?
Yeah, it was very cool to see. But you think about, like, I was thinking about it when I was watching it now, and it's like, wouldn't it be easier to just like send somebody to walk up to them and be like, "You're not supposed to be here."
Yeah, do some X-Files stuff. Yeah, yeah. A helicopter, that is just a red flag to like, oh, something suspicious is going on here, right?
Yeah, it was very, like, random. It's like, weren't they even, like, shooting at them at one point?
Yeah, they pulled out some kind of taser gun, you know, which establishes the taser gun for later in the episode. So it's Chekhov's taser gun, I guess, right?
Okay.
But then Clark just, like, breaks it and throws the guy, like, 30 feet as he does. So these two government agents, they're going to know, they're like, hey, we need to look into this Clark Kent kid because we tried to tase him and he broke my back and he threw me 30 feet. By the way, I did see a double rainbow in the background. I don't know if anybody caught that. And one of the shots where Lois is running away. So good job on your camera crew for catching that. Clark uses his heat vision on the helicopter,
which could have killed somebody, but whatever.
Which I was like, oh God, is he going to blow up this helicopter? But it just kind of makes it land. What is it with Superman and helicopters? Supergirl, Superman movie, Smallville, there's always these helicopters, always these drama going on around helicopters. I don't know.
Well, I love that. Was it Exposed where he's got the helicopter, which was very reminiscent of Superman the movie?
Yeah, where he kind of pulls it down by the cord. Yeah, and he grabs it in his hand. That was awesome. But
great moment.
Back when they had a budget as opposed to Homecoming, where it was just, okay, Tom, hold this prop. We're just going to push it over the roof. But anyway, Lois and Clark are able to evade the agents. We see that Lois is a very capable martial artist. You know, as she said on Superman, the animated series, Daddy was a black belt. So she beats them up and they run away. But then we get, who do we get, Craig? Comes out of this helicopter, but General Sam Lane. Yeah, General Sam Lane, played by Michael Ironside. And this was a great casting get, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. I mean, like, I loved him in other stuff, like the original V. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's a great series. But also, he was the voice of freaking Darkseid. It was awesome to get him. And also, I liked that he was a very authoritative character. And you've got a character like Lois, who is so ballsy, but you see where she gets it from with him.
Absolutely. You know, I've been a fan of him from Total Recall. He's one of the bad guys in Total Recall. And I stopped watching Sequest at this point, but he did take over Sequest from Rob Schneider.
Oh, was that when it was like Sequest 2032 or something?
Yes, it was Sequest DSV, and then it became Sequest 2032, and Michael Ironside took over the ship. So anyway, he's been in all kinds of stuff. He carries on to this day in the Arrowverse because he was Captain Cole's dad.
And in the Arrowverse, he had the same daughter because Peyton List, who played Lucy Lane, was also Captain Cold's sister.
That is some crazy casting. Like, I wonder if they did that intentionally or if it was just a happy accident.
It was a happy accident. I'm sure they didn't realize it.
nobody remembers that they were in Smallville. But anyway, you got Michael Ironside. And as you said, Craig, the voice of Darkseid in the DC animated universe. What a huge disappointment. Because Michael Ironside, he comes back in season 10, by the way, to play Sam Lane again. He didn't voice Darkseid because we didn't really see Darkseid. I thought it was a natural, like, okay, great. It's like, oh, cool. We're going to see Darkseid, and we have the iconic voice as Darkseid. It's going to be awesome. And then they don't do that. They just have zombie Lionel Luthor, and it's terrible. But anyway.
But you know, one thing that frustrated me, though, is when I was doing the season 4 book, hopefully they're not listening, I interviewed Brian and Kelly about this episode, and I was like, were you guys ever tempted to bring back Sam Lane? And this was like during season 7 or 8 that I'm doing this interview, and they're like, does anybody care? And I'm like, well, I care. That's why I'm asking.
See, this is the great thing that you wrote, the official companion for season 4. So I'm going to quote you quoting them now. In Smallville, the official companion season 4, available wherever books are sold, by Craig Byrne, ladies and gentlemen.
What did they say?
They said, quote, I think what we find is, a lot of times, when we veer too far off from our main cast, the episodes aren't compelling. If we center stories around people that are too far removed from our cast, even though he is Lois's father, unless we were to actually go completely into his world with the military, it wouldn't have the emotional resonance that he does if our story stay centered around Chloe, Clark, Lana, and Lex. So that's their way of saying, no, he won't be coming back.
Even though they did when they ran out of stories for season 10. But also, I call bull because it's like, these characters, part of what made them great is how they were formed by their parents. Like, you know, like Clark obviously has the Kents. Lex has Lionel. To see Lois's father more, I think would have been very valuable.
Chloe has Gabe for one last time in this episode.
Yeah, and then he fake died and never got his job back.
Like, they should have just killed him when the Trent 1000 had killed the other two FBI agents, you know?
Yeah. Where did the Trent 1000 get his powers from?
Yeah, did he get hit by a liquid metal? Was he driving a liquid metal truck and then got hit by a meteor? I mean, that's terrible. He is now my least favorite freak of the week. We'll get to him.
Yeah, I forgot about him, to tell you the
he
truth.
He is so awful. But anyway, we're getting back to where we are in the episode. We get to the main credits. We come back. Clark's taking a shower. Yes, get it out. Clark's taking a shower. Lois comes in. He's like, we usually take turns to use the bathroom. So it's a really fun, awkward thing. By the way, 2 for 2 now in shower scenes in the season 4 and their trashiness, Craig. Everybody has to be taking a shower. I had to laugh about Lana's Jessica Rabbit-esque shower in Crusade. So.
Although I love the scene where Martha like just shows up and Lois just pops her head up from behind Clark, and then Lois is like, oh yeah, we were just taking a shower.
We showers separately. Like this is great. And this is some of the fun. And this is them going back to earlier in the show.
Yeah.
With the whole kind of, I'm a teenager and I have parents and that kind of thing, that awkwardness. It was really funny when Martha shows up with like some towels for Clark, and then Lois pops out and her expression just changes. And this is a great scene.
Because, you know, Martha would have been kind of proud of Clark for that, but Jonathan would not be having it.
Yeah, because we cut to downstairs and Jonathan's like giving him the stare down, and then that's what they say the thing about, we were just taking a shower, and he's like, shower separately,
and then Clark's like, oh no, we were going to the safe house of Chloe, and Lois is like, what the Clark? Yeah.
And well, see, and this is the thing, this is when she starts calling him Smallville, and I'm like, all right, she's staying here for a little bit, I get it, she just met him, but when she lives here for the for the next 6 years. Her calling him Smallville did annoy me, but it did work here, and as we were talking about earlier.
Actually, she was talking about Clark Jr.
And there we go. She does make a crack about that. They referenced her that she had already seen him naked. So that was funny. What is it with Lois Lane talking about people's junk? You know, even Man of Steel, right? We have Jodie Foster talking about it. What's Jodie Foster? What was her name? Jodie Melville. Jodie Foster. Talking about
that. I just remember one of those movies called Lois Lane Thirsty.
Oh, boy. Moving on, we get some stock footage of Paris. And then we see Lana looking at a picture of Clark that we've never seen before in front of a symbol in the caves that we've never seen before. And it's the same symbol that she has on her back. So that's not retconning. I don't know what is.
Clothes on, Lana's tattoo above the waistband of her pants. Pull back to reveal she's using her laptop on an old table pockmarked with coffee cup stains. On the screen is a photo of Clark, who is smiling and standing in the cave. But instead of eyeing Clark, she zooms the image in closer to focus on the Kryptonian symbols on the cave wall behind him, where there's a crude photograph of a symbol similar to her tattoo.
What's that, Craig? It sounds like you're reading from a script.
Yeah, I am. What do you know?
Yes. So explain what you have there, Craig.
So when I was writing the books for the companion guides, they would sometimes send me the scripts so I could refer back to them when I'm doing like the season 4 companion book. So right here, I have the script to Gone, which actually has some scenes with Dr. Swan that we'll be getting to later in this podcast. So you get an extra bonus for listening today.
Christopher Reeve was supposed to be in Crusade and Gone.
Yes.
And play a bigger role in season 4. And unfortunately, he had some scheduling conflicts and then he passed away. And then that's part of why season 4 is kind of a jumbled mess when it comes to the mythology, because they didn't really know what to do, and then Margot Kirk wouldn't come back, and you know, lots of things go from there. So we can talk about that when we get to the Christopher Reeve scenes.
You were asking about the, like, you know, the feeling among the fandom as we were going into season 4. There were actually rumors that people had seen Christopher Reeve and Tom Welling like at a restaurant in Vancouver. But there was no way Reeve would have been in Vancouver.
Sounds like fake news to me, Craig.
It was fake news. Hashtag CNN. But, you know, I need to also interrupt you just because, you know, I was reading that bit from the script. The scene of Lana looking at the tattoo in the script happened before Lois and Clark in the shower. And actually, before we get to the scene with Lex and Lionel, we have our Dr. Swan scene. After the Kents get on their case for taking a shower together or, you know, visiting a crime scene. So right after Martha was like, if they weren't trying to kill you, what do you think they were after? It goes, as the foreboding question sinks in, off Clark. And the next scene takes place in Dr. Swan's Metropolis office during the daytime. The camera follows Clark as he pushes through double doors and marches through into a room lit by a stark green desk lamp casting noirish shadows over the mahogany office. As he approaches, reveal Dr. Virgil Swan, uplit from the large wood desk he's seated at. And then Clark goes, you sent them, didn't you? And Dr. Swan says, I'm beginning to understand why Jor-El felt the need to employ such severe parenting techniques. Just kind of harsh. And Clark's like, I'm sorry for barging in, but the guys in the helicopter, you sent them after me because it was your jet I broke into, wasn't it? And Dr. Swan goes, when was the last time I sent helicopters after you, Clark? All I've ever offered to you is guidance. Clark goes, in exchange for what? There has to be a reason why you're always so eager to help me. And Dr. Swan asks, does there? Clark goes, that's usually how it works. Swan says, you're becoming jaded, Clark. And Clark goes, thanks to people like you. It's like you know about some big puzzle out there that you won't tell me what it is. You're just using me to solve it. Swan asks, you think I'm conspiring against you? And Clark goes, why else wouldn't you tell me about the crystal? And then Swan's eyes light up with surprise at the word crystal. He looks at Clark, alarmed. The crystal you're referring to, did it bear me? Clark goes, you know it did. And Swan says, that crystal may be intended for you, but the quest for it is centuries old. Activate C9. Suddenly an image appears on a large screen beside them. A photograph of an Incan temple in Peru appears. Above the stone doorway is an etching of the crystal with Kryptonian symbols around it. This is a temple not far from Coriancha in Peru. Next, Swan says. And then he shows stuff from like Easter Island, Crete, Cambodia. And he says, every culture had its predictions, but none of them knew where the crystals were. And Clark says, there's more than one. And Swan tells him, from what I can interpret, there are three. all hidden at different ends of the Earth, so only you could find them. And Clark asks, if they're Kryptonian, why would anyone else want them? And Swan answers, strength. No one knows for certain what power the crystals hold, but for 1,200 years, people have killed each other seeking them out. The crusade for the crystals has been a bloody one, and there are dark forces that will stop at nothing to get them.
Crusade!
Clark, yeah, exactly. Clark digests the gravity of this. That must be why Jor-El sent me back. It's like he reprogrammed me to find them. And Swan goes, but you didn't listen. You've continually refused to accept your destiny, Clark. It was only a matter of time before someone accepted it for you. And then they cut from that, and they're at the scene where Lois is, like, walking through and Clark is, you know, sleeping on the couch. So obviously they were setting up him teasing what the mission is. And and reading this, it kind of makes the mission make more sense.
Yeah, because that was a major issue I had with the Crusade, and I had to kind of, like, fanboy explain it. I was like, okay, timeline-wise, Lex must have got the crystal first. And because, you know, Sagitt or whatever, right? When that got the crystal, then, oh, we got to send Clark out to get him to stop the humans from putting him together. So then that way, that's why Jor-El sends Clark back to go pick him up. That's what Clark speculates here, or Dr. Swan speculates. So this scene alone helps kind of contextualize what the hell is going on in Crusade, yeah. Right?
Didn't make much sense at the time, but yeah.
Like, what would they have taken out of this episode to put this in here? Because that's a pretty long scene.
I have no idea. I really have no clue.
There's already a deleted scene that we'll talk about too, so...
Maybe the scene of Lex and Lionel is missing. Oh no, the suit thing is here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is all out of order because the whole thing about the suit happens after Lois and Lana meet in the script.
Really? Okay, so they rejiggle some stuff. That's interesting. It just, you know, it's obviously it was a great tragedy that Christopher Reeve died when he did, because he had fought such a long and hard battle with paralysis, and, you know, he had actually started to make some real strides. And
he looked better, like, when he did Legacy.
Uh-huh. And that was only a year before this, you know. You know, all that aside, you know, just looking at Smallville itself, you know, season four was great. That they looked like they were going to kind of play him in a bigger role, you know, because yeah. In season two, it's like, okay, he's a one-off scientist guy. He's going to tell Clark his origin, and that was that. But then they decided to bring him back for season three. They make him a little more ambiguous. You know, he was working with Lionel, and he has the key, you know. And then you get to season four, and he's really, like, has a lot more knowledge he hasn't been sharing with Clark, and then his organization starts pulling some strings to find these crystals. So that would have been really cool to see, and then and Christopher Reeve really would have enjoyed playing that.
Well, I also really liked in this scene, I'm sorry my dog's barking. No, but I really like in this scene in particular that he's kind of taking Jor-El's side a little bit, which kind of fed some of the fan theories that there was a connection between Swan and Jor-El.
That would have been way too contrived, I think. I mean, it's the obvious thing. Oh, he's Christopher Reeve. He was Superman. He's going to be connected to Jor-El somehow. But I'm glad they kept them as separate characters.
Yeah, but we know how that stuff happens.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, we know how that stuff happens in the Arrowverse.
Henry Allen became the Flash, who everyone wanted him to play to begin with. So, yeah. Anyway, that's great, and thank you for sharing that, Craig. That's awesome that you have the script and
no worries.
And always hold on to Smallville exclusive.
Well, you know what? I will try to transcribe this stuff and put it on Krypton site before.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, we will share it on our social media, guys. Everybody, go to Krypton site, check it out.
Yeah, it still exists.
That's right. Hashtag Krypton site still exists. So that would have been great. It would have set up a whole new subplot for season four and kind of reestablished the Clark and Dr. Swan relationship with a new kind of antagonistic edge between them. So that would have been very, very interesting. But anyway, getting back to the episode we do have, we have a scene between Lex and Lionel. Lionel's getting measured for a new suit. And this is a great scene between two of them because he's confident that he's going to get off. He's not going to be convicted on the murder charge. And this is probably the most threatening scene I've ever seen between Lionel and Lex, because Lionel goes up to Lex and he says, "You're not going to know when, but every friend you make, every sip of wine you take..." I guess it's starting to sound like a police song now. I'll be watching you.
That's what I think about watching this scene, is that song.
But all jokes aside, this is the most blatantly, like, Lionel has been to Lex, like, "Look, I'm going to kill you. You know, you better watch out." So, I mean, that you can even tell, you see on Lex's face, like, oh, crap, I hope he doesn't get out of jail because I'm in trouble now. But he specifically mentions wine, and then we cut to Lex in his mansion looking at a glass of wine. Like, should I drink this? Should I not?
Didn't he learn his lesson in Covenant?
Yeah, Covenant and freaking Shattered. Like, if I were Lex, I would never drink anything again that I did not, like, have a taste test or drink before me, because that screwed him over twice now. So he's there, you know, pondering his wine, and then who comes in but Lana? And the first thing he says to her is, you look great. I'm like, oh my God, they're continuing the Lexana stuff, aren't they, Craig?
Yeah, and also she did not have her weird outfit where you could see her tattoo in that scene, did she?
No, she did not. She decided to cover up. Because I was watching
for it to see if, like, Lex was going to notice it.
Right, because he was checking her out, that's for sure.
And she's still in high school. I mean, what's she going to do, sleep with a teacher?
Yeah, that would be highly inappropriate. She comes by. She claims that she came by because she noticed that Talon was boarded up, and she thought that he would have sold it by now. And he said that, you know, he just couldn't part with it. You know, so he clearly saved it for her. And she mentioned that she wants to rent the apartment, which is what she should have been doing this entire time instead of freely. She's like
living with Chloe.
The Sullivans. Yeah. Well, now that the Sullivans are dead. You know, I have nowhere to stay. Can I stay at this place, basically?
So she just left her art school and she can just reapply at Smallville High immediately? Is that how this is supposed to work?
I guess.
Okay.
I wasn't really entirely sure what she was studying over there anyway, because she goes from, like, taking photos of some Madeline girls in one scene to making a, you know, an etching of a bronze engraving the next scene. And then, you know, in her apartment in Paris, you gotta love the set decorator, right? Like, when she was on her computer looking at those pictures of the caves, like, there's one of those, like, miniature mannequin things.
Uh-huh.
It's something that artists have on their desks. I'm like, all right, guys. Had she shown any kind of, like, artistic interest, it'd be one thing. Like, couldn't they have, like, given her something, like, horse riding or something to go do? You know, not be in the freaking art school? Like, I don't know.
This it's is just, a show where so somebody annoying. Decided to do journalism because a barn door flew in her face.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I had a problem with Lois Lane on this show for several seasons. Because if Clark didn't get a cold that day, Lois Lane would have never gotten into journalism. So, anyway, but you're right. Moving on. We get the scene where Clark is asleep on the couch. Poor Clark, whenever they have company, I guess the Kents have a small house. He has to sleep on the couch.
And of course, he's sleeping shirtless because it's the WB.
That's right. It's season 4 on the WB. That's why he's sleeping shirtless, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So Lois sneaks out. Where does she go? But she goes to dig up Chloe because she's going to dig up her body and drop her in the Genesis chamber on Zod's crashed spaceship, I guess. Is that the plan here?
Oh, God. I forgot about that already.
That was a Justice League reference.
Oh.
But it did make me think of Justice League because you have Lois digging up Chloe's grave. Now, this is a common thing you see in movies and TV shows, just people, like, digging up graves. It's a lot harder than they make it look. Like, you have one person with one shovel. You know how long that would take you?
Well, I was watching, I was like, is she really going to get enough dirt out of the way so she can just lift it up? And none of that dirt fell into the casket after. I know we're not supposed to think about those things, but I do.
Yeah, well, she, surprise, surprise, she gets all the 6 feet under, right? And she opens the casket, and it's empty. This guy comes up to her, and she's like, where's Chloe Sullivan? I'm like, who is this? Like, who is this guy?
And then...
I was talking about the last two episodes now. I've talked about the Terminator, right? Because you had when Kara showed up in Covenant, yeah. It was very, like, Terminator 3-esque. And then when Clark shows back up in Crusade, it is extremely Terminator-esque. Like, the lightning, the ball, even the way Tom Welling stands up, I was talking about. Like, it's like they showed him the scene from the Terminator when Arnold shows up, and they say,
well,
do
you know,
this.
Originally, they wanted him to stand up like he did in Superman the movie, but Tom didn't want the world to sing his joke. No, I'm just
So, but yeah, this show continues to rip off the Terminator now, because this is, again, the worst freak of the week ever, Craig. I defy you to find me a worse one.
Oh, God.
Maybe the aging baby that blows up. Oh. Also in season 4, you guys starting to see why I have problems.
Wait,
with the season?
That was in season 4 too? Oh, my God.
Yes, with Ageless. Yeah.
Ageless, yeah. Like, I still give Stephen DeKnight over that one over 20 times.
It's the man who brought us Justice also wrote ageless.
Well, you know, they gave him justice because he did ageless, and they felt sorry for him. You think I'm joking?
No, I do think. Okay, interesting story. We'll get to that later on down the podcast. But James Bell plays Trent McGowan, and he, as I don't know, did we call him this back in the day on Krypton site? The Trent 1000, is that what we called him? Because I know that's what I called him, because he is the T-1000.
I don't know, but what I was going to say is when you first mentioned Trent, I had to look at the script to make sure that was his character's name. And what I found that was really fascinating about the script, page 2, is Jason Teague is listed as a guest star character. So maybe Jensen wasn't originally going to be planned as a series regular.
Well, it'd be similar to Erica Durant's then, because it's interesting that, like, you have Lois Lane. You're like, oh, okay, Lois Lane. Oh, she's just a guest star. But Lana's boyfriend of the season, who's apparently a football coach, is in the main credits, and he's been in, like, 2 scenes and 2 episodes and nothing to do with football.
It's a permissions issue, because they did the same thing with Jimmy Olsen, Henry. Mm. But, you know, like, Aaron Ashmore was in most of season 6, but he wasn't a series regular until the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to the point where so many people left, they're like, we're just going to make them regulars the first year. Yeah, like I was watching, because I'm a nerd, I was watching the Smallville opening titles on YouTube recently. And it's like, you get to season 10, there are only 4 series regulars for the entire season. And 5 if you count Allison in her, like, how many did she get in there last year? Like 4?
No, she was like in 8 or 10 episodes, right? Of season 10?
I don't remember. She originally wasn't scheduled to come back for the finale, which would have really set people off. But also, notice, she's only in 1 scene of finale part 2.
Oh, see you in the funny papers, right?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah. And then, obviously, the flash forward. But,
So...
No, what are you talking? There's not 5, right? There's Clark, Lois, Chloe, Oliver... Tess.
And that's it.
Are you serious?
So you watch those opening credits.
And there's so many clips.
They're just random clips. They ran out of people.
5 people left. Oh,
whereas I think in season 7 and had probably the most, because they added Aaron Ashmore and Lara Vandervoort, but they had lost Annette, but still it was like 1 more.
Yeah, and then Lex and Lana were still there. Yeah. And then Lois, interesting stuff.
And also for season 7 is interesting because they flipped Lex and Lana.
Like, yeah, because did they think giving Rosenbaum second billing would keep him around? Like,
I have no idea how that works. But the other thing is, I remember, and is on topic, is there were fans who were pissed off when Erica Durance was credited before Allison Mack for a couple of years. I think they've resolved that in season 6, but the reason they did that is, like, even Jensen Ackles was credited before Alice season 4. It's because you had the Tom, Kristen, Michael trio, and then you had the supporting people, the young supporting people, and then you had the old supporting people.
And the young supporting people in alphabetical order. That's why Sam Jones was credited before Alice Mack. I learned that from Star Trek The Next Generation, because you had Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, and then it says, also starring LeVar Burton, right? And didn't Brent Spiner's not 3rd, right? Data, you think Data would be number 3, but it's in alphabetical order. So anyway, I follow you there.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, one of my favorite opening title sequences of all time is Dallas. And they actually just did it in alphabetical order. There was not a and so-and-so as such-and-such.
And with.
Yeah, like Larry Hagman was arguably the lead actor of the show, he was sometimes credited like 5th.
Wow.
Just because of alphabetical order. The funny thing is, though, living in LA, when you go to like a baseball game, like I've been to a Dodgers game, when they show the lineup, it looks like the opening credits of a TV show on the screen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
The pitcher is usually the oldest person on the team, and it's almost like, you know, and so and so as the pitcher, which is kind of funny. But,
look at that, Craig with a sports reference, man. Good job.
Yeah, it's going to happen sometime.
Oh, by the way, this reminds me, what the hell was up with season 5 when they spelled Kristen Kirk's name wrong? It's in Arrival and the new opening credits.
I will have you know that somebody who is on this podcast right now was the one to tell them about that.
Did you get a screener before that and point it out?
No,
to
what
them,
happened or? Is I used to go to the season premiere parties. Like, with the producers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, like, after the episode, I went up to them, like, yeah, you know you spelled Kristen's name wrong, right?
This is season five, people. Learn how to spell her name. And so they didn't fix it before broadcast? I guess there wasn't time, or?
No, because we were watching it live.
Oh, I see.
Back then, it was rare to get screeners back then. Like, I remember one time, because my local WB affiliate was, like, preempting for basketball, they mailed me a videotape. I had it like 2 days early, and that was like a big special deal. But the first time I think I ever got an episode early was Reckoning. And that was not, oh no, I lied. Rosetta.
Okay. Yeah, with the Tim tracks with the John Williams music.
Exactly. I can't remember if I was supposed to get Rosetta early or if somebody just gave it. I can't remember anymore, no. But I still have that videotape.
Well, anyway, speaking of Lois and Lana and all these things, we get our first Lois and Lana meeting here, because as the Trent 1000 is trying to kill Lois, Lana comes, hits on the back of the head with a shovel, and then he disappears, and we get our, I'm Lana Lang, I'm Lois Lane, you get
Anakin
it, guys?
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's exactly right. But I love what Lois says here. She's like, oh, that guy's a complete psychopath, and then Lana's like, yeah, you have to be to dig up a grave in the middle of the day. And she's like, ah, actually, that was me.
So but that, again, that was Lois being bold. Mm-hmm. And that's the best kind of Lois. So I'm a fan.
Well, you know, it wasn't an A for B thing, but Pete left and Lana was still there and Chloe was still there. But he needed somebody to be like the comic relief. And just that fell to Lois, you know. And that's, she became kind of a goofball character for a lot of seasons because there was really no one else to give these kind of silly subplots to, I guess. And that's really what it came down to, I guess, unfortunately. But anyway, Lois and Lana meet here. And then we see that maroon Jeep Liberty pulling up to the Kent farm, and Clark gets all excited.
Wasn't maroon.
It wasn't, was it not the same car?
No, it was a darker, it was darker color because I remember noticing it.
Okay. Cause my mind filled in the blank. Of like, oh, it must be her for her same car. So,
and it's so funny because it's like, oh, Lana, and then it's like Lois.
Oh yeah, she's all so excited that she gets out too. And of course, they've met and they've talked, and you know, well, Clark says something along the lines of, oh, I guess you found what you're looking for in Paris. And Lois is like, yeah, who wouldn't want to have a summer fling in the most romantic city on earth? And
with Dean Winchester,
yeah. And Clark's like, oh. And then there's some awkwardness between them, and Lois looks at them both. She's like, really? Really? And they're both like, oh, we never, not really. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? We never, not really. Clark and Lana have been legitimately dating on and off for like 2 years, and they try to play it off like it was nothing. I don't know. No, incorrect.
I don't know what to say about that one.
Right? Isn't that kind of weird? Like, Clark and Chloe, I can kind of see them playing it off because it wasn't that serious. But Clark and Lana, come on. So she leaves, and then it's like hours later, but apparently Clark and Lois haven't talked yet, and Clark is still shaken up about this, and she starts talking to him about how Luther Corp paid for Chloe's funeral, and they need to investigate this and that, and then she's like, wow, she really did a number on you, huh? And he's like, I do like what he says to Lois here. You're really not the person I want to talk to about this. Yeah, but there's no one else around to talk to.
Is this when they're in the loft?
Yes, yes.
Yes, and then the helicopters show up.
Yeah, then the helicopter shows up, and they start to run away, and then Michael Ironside finally shows up, because at the beginning of the episode, he was like, find them, and it took him, like, I don't know, two days to track them back to the Kent farm, I guess.
But the other thing that I, like, this is me thinking, like, as a practical real person, is nobody's going to just, like, fly a helicopter to just scare her to just walk in through the door and be like, Lois, I'm your dad.
It was kind of a reveal. Although, if people know Superman, they know General Sam Lane is her father, unless it's Lois and Clark, and he's like a doctor or something. And
played by two different actors.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of, what's up with Lois's parents being played by two different actors? We're almost there. You know, if you saw him get out of the helicopter earlier, he has a big name tag that says Lane, you know.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a reveal where he shows up and Lois is like, hey, daddy. And there's like this, everybody kind of looks at each other. It's like this big revelation that the guy chasing them was Lois's father, and that's cool. It's a cool time to cut to commercial. And this is, I don't know if they cut to commercial, but they cut to the next scene. And this has always really made me laugh when Jonathan has these lines like this, and they're like setting the dinner table, and Jonathan's
like,
"We owe
him all respect."
Yeah, he's a 3-star general, Clark. Like that's such a perfect Jonathan line. 4-star general.
No, but what I love about that scene, though, too, is when Jonathan doesn't accept one of his cigars, Sam's like, oh, well, screw you then. I'm not staying.
He's like, oh, okay. Well, I have to double time it, low. It's just like, that was funny. I think if he was like offended that he didn't want a cigar.
So. Well, you know, in the script, I think the line is slightly different. I'm looking at it now, and he's like, uh-huh. I'll have to take a rain check on your hospitality, Mrs. Kent. The base's kitchen shuts down in 20 minutes, and I never miss a meal with my men.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense than screw you, you didn't take my cigar. So, but this is Lois like hugs Clark goodbye, but it's just to show, it's just for show, so she can whisper to him like, "This is all about Chloe. You need to keep investigating." And they leave, and I like it's small here, right? But I like the dynamic between Sam Lane and Lois Lane in these couple episodes because, as you said earlier, like she's a strong personality, but her dad's an even stronger personality. So they leave, and we get Lex, and he has yet another video animation of an accident that's happened to him, Craig. This is going to be the new car crash animation, huh?
Yep, and then he's going to put in his new chamber of Clark Kent.
Yeah, I was thinking, because I'm thinking to myself, oh, cool, this will be another video, but then I realize the next time we see that room, it's been stripped bare just to the BMW, but I'm pretty sure Lex saved all that stuff. But anyway, yes, he has a new animation, and he's being told that someone must have ripped the door off his plane. And in the middle of this, Clark walks in and he's back to just barging into the Luther Mansion asking for stuff, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they don't have a very good security system in there.
Yeah. Well, I like the dynamic here because Clark is just done with Lex. And I like they didn't immediately reset that, you know? Like he has an attitude problem against Lex, and I like that.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, does this mean you're talking to me now? He's like, well, only because I have to. And then Lex says, relegated from friend to last resort, you know? So I like the dynamic here between them. And again, Smallville's only going to last 5 seasons, so they're just, you know, they're easing towards them being enemies. But then, you know, we have to reset everything over and over and over again. But Clark confronts Lex about Chloe's grave being empty and asked him where she is. And Lex's explanation here makes perfect sense because he's like, look, the building blew up. There was nothing left of their bodies. Frankly, there was nothing left to put in the grave. And, like, I would have been like, oh, sorry, that makes sense. I feel really stupid now. I'll see myself out, right?
Did they keep the line in the script where he's like, would you have given up this easily if it was me?
Oh, no, that's not in there.
Yeah. There's a bit where Clark says that to Lex.
Interesting. He should have said Lana. That's what he should have said.
No, Clark says that to Lex.
No, so no, like, I know.
Oh,
you should have said, would you have given up this easily if it was Lana? So.
But then the very next scene, after Clark says that, it says, Lex doesn't know what to say. Off Lex's silence, Clark walks away. He slows a moment but won't turn back. As Clark leaves, he passes a modern metal scripture where the molten face of Trent emerges. The metallic surface clings to the topography of Trent's features in a ghostly sheet. Lex dials his phone, oblivious. Get me Bly. Off Trent's eerie steel eyes, ..
Oh, so that explains how later on he's talking to Lionel and they're talking about how, you know, if the trace was correct, I'll find them on Tatooine. It's sparsely populated.
Yeah.
To keep our episode one reference going. But yeah, see, I was curious about how he found them.
That explains
a bit, too. Mm-hmm. God, come on, people.
Trent was there for that conversation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But we do Clark does some investigative reporting of his own here, right? Because he notices, you know, General Lane made such a big deal out of these cigars and he's always smoking them. He sees that cigar in Lex's ashtray, I guess, on his desk. So he leaves and he knows they're working together. So I thought that was a cool clue that Clark picked up on, huh?
Yeah, another thing that was a very cool clue for sure. Another thing about, you know, I was talking about them moving around the scenes. Fairly soon after this, you know, in the script, right after it is the Lionel bit in the shower.
Well, no, that's what happens in the episode, though. But in the episode,
the Lex and Lana scene later, but they actually remember their continuity. They're like walking in. Lex rolls down his shirt sleeve over a titanium dialysis well sunk into his skin. As he clasps the button, he looks up, surprised to see Lana.
Oh wow! So, okay, that's interesting. That they shifted everything around. So the scene from way earlier.
Yeah, so they remembered the whole thing about the dialysis, which...
Okay, yeah, okay, they just dropped that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's never mentioned again after Crusade, right?
Nope.
Okay. Now, my fanboy explanation is the thing that kept him alive was his white blood cell count and all that stuff, right? That eventually cured itself in his blood. That's my only explanation, because they make such a big deal that he has to have his blood purified every 72 hours in Crusade, and then it's never mentioned again. So, man, see? Give him a hard time. I don't know where this stuff drops. You know, I guess they find little moments they can cut out because they don't think people are going to care, because apparently if they don't think people are going to care about Sam Lane.
Well, I remember caring at the time, like, what's up with, you know, I think the most egregious thing cut, though, was, I think it was the Jimmy the Spy episode, or maybe it was Quest, where Lex is told he's on the no-fly list, and the very next scene he's on a plane.
Oh boy!
Okay,
but
so go on. We're getting to the Lionel Luthor porn. So go
yes,
on.
That is next. Yeah, Lionel Luthor taking a shower, and again, the great use of opera. Right, they continue this now several episodes in a row for Lionel Luthor, and he's taking a shower and he's having a good old time. You know, he seems really pleased with himself. You know, and he sees there's a cop outside or a guard, so he's just, you know, taking a sweet time in the shower. By the way, John Glover looks amazing.
Yeah,
in the shower. I mean,
especially
and
Lionel's still dying at this time too, isn't he?
Yeah. But and this reminds me, of course, of Arrow season 7, right? In the shower fight with Stephen Amell. Now, now, who looked better, Craig, Stephen Amell or John Glover in the shower?
I played the fifth because I'm never going to offend, you know, the magnificent bastard.
There you go. Well, that's a good answer, Craig. It's very very political of you. Well done. So. So Lionel, though, like the guard disappears, right? And then we have this guy come up behind Lionel and shanks him, like straight up prison stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
So obviously Lex is sending Lionel a message, you know, because Lionel had threatened him, and now this is Lex sending him a message.
Don't wound what you can't kill.
That was really cool. Just the shift in tone from Lionel being like, ha ha ha, I'm gonna get away with everything, to, oh crap, I just got shanked. So this was a good scene here. So then we get to a scene that Craig and I, you know, we're talking about before we were recording here, that we both had forgotten completely about an element in the scene. But it's Sam Lane's office, and Lois is going through papers and trying to find any kind of connection that her dad has with Chloe's disappearance. And we see a picture that we learn is Sam Lane, his wife, Lois's mom, and baby Lois. And boy, does she look nothing like Terry Hatcher, does she, Craig?
Yeah, it's a thing for those, like, the women of that family to, like, be blonde 1 second and be played by an icon the next. And, you know, had Chloe's mom, the first time you saw her, she was blonde. And then the next time you saw her, she was Wonder Woman. And Lois's mother ended up being Terry Hatcher in season 10. And she's the iconic Lois Lane. So, yeah, that was weird. But also, like, I seem to remember before the season started, maybe it was a character breakdown or something, I think that Lucy was supposed to still exist, but be a lot younger.
Well, she is, like, a lot younger. I mean, she's a good, well, I guess she can't be any more than 6 years younger based off the math, right?
Well, she was like 16 or 17 at least when she shows up in Lucy. Mm-hmm. And if Lois can still go back to high school, she can't be more than 18 or 19.
So two things about that. There have been a question about how old is Lois. I do like it when Lois is a little older than Clark.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of like seen the ropes and he's this young doofus and she, you know, she's a veteran. I like that dynamic between them. Now, they say here that Lois's mom died when she was 6. And she mentions 15 years later because she thinks Nellie Bly is some girlfriend of her dad's or something. So that means Lois is that means Lois is 21.
They clearly forgot about that one.
Yeah, oh, big time. This scene is full of continuity errors, yeah, because that means she's at least, you know, 3 years, if not 4 years older than Clark and everybody else. So anyway, yes, how did she get away with not graduating high school for 3 years?
That's why it was so stupid. You know, like, if I was to redo the books now, I think I would be bold and just be like, Al, what the f*** were you guys thinking with this whole Lois high school thing? Like, I mean, but they could have easily just been like, I mean, if Jason Teague can get a job at Smallville High, so can Lois. She could have been the journalism advisor. There you go. Boom. Okay. Easy.
Done. Finally, someone have some kind of teacher supervision over the door. Like, all right, Miss Sullivan, you've been running this paper for 3 years without any kind of oversight, and your cousin was now going to be in charge or something like that.
But, so it's like in the original series Bible, Lois was Chloe's older cousin who turned her on to journalism. And I think it was Obscura. She mentioned going to visit her cousin in Metropolis.
Yeah, they never say it's Lois, but you kind of connect the dots that it is.
Yeah, and so like, I think it would have been beneficial to the show for Lois to be this like older mentor idol. And it would have fit in with these two episodes. I mean, Lois could still be goofy and be a reporter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she can be quirky, but not like the butt of every joke, and that's what she became. You know?
I mean, Lois Lane is the best. And
I never really put my finger on why Lois didn't sit well with me, other than obviously my Chloe blinders, right? in the day. But this is exactly it, Craig, because she should just be she should be on top of her game. She should, you know, be just not the butt of all the jokes, and that's what she became. So anyway, it's interesting.
I always envision Lois Lane as being the best of Chloe and Lois combined. I think I've said this on the show before. Like, she has the journalistic drive of Chloe, but she has the heart of Lana. If that makes any sense.
Okay. So Chloe and Lana combine.
Yeah, because I think Chloe could be a bit more ruthless. And I think Lois would find a way to do it heartfully. I don't know if that makes any sense.
I got you. I follow what you're saying.
But, clearly they didn't do that. But, I mean, and that would also give a reason or excuse for Lois to be out of reach of Clark. Beyond the age thing, just the notion that she is so put together and he's still a dumb kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not as dumb as Archie on Riverdale, but nobody's as dumb as Archie on Riverdale.
Well, there you have it. You know, speaking of the 21-year-old thing, we learned that because Clark shows up and he's also investigating the connection between General Lane based off the cigar he saw at Lex's, and he's going through the visitor's log and they find Nellie Bly, and Clark mentions that, oh, that's Chloe's hero, which is cool that Clark knows that. You think Lois would know that if they're like BFF cousins or whatever, but whatever. And then he determines that must be, you know, Chloe's alias that she's using right now. Chloe undercover using an alias, Craig. It's only a matter of time before she takes on the name of Lois Lane to honor her fallen cousin.
She already did it in season 3. Sorry. Wasn't it delete?
Yeah. No, look, she's not that interested in journalism. It won't be a problem to use her name. So Clark super speeds over to the safe house that Chloe's been at. And I guess he just missed the Trent 1000 killing the FBI agents, because you see like the back door waving or whatever.
And but Chloe's computer's on playing music. Back in the days before we had iPods.
He just had computers. Exactly, right?
Winamp.
Man, that takes me back. Winamp. Oh, my God. Real Player? Remember that crap? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we see two dead FBI agents, and I thought to myself, oh, wait, is Gabe dead? Like, could they not have just shown Gabe Sullivan be dead here and be done with it, Craig? Because we don't see Robert Wiseman at all.
He actually was seen in the flashback of how they survived.
Right,
being rescued, and he's credited in the episode.
Yeah, I laugh when I saw his credit. I'm like, oh, that's it for you, Robert. But I guess it would have been weird to see him dead and then see him survive an explosion in a flashback, you know, because it would have been like we went through all that.
I don't know. They did killed. The whole episode where they brought back Whitney only to reveal that he was dead.
Well, that's very true. And then, hey, he comes back. He comes back next week in Facade,
looking a few years older.
That's true. I like how you said, and this is something I always laughed about our Krypton site, because when you were putting descriptions or whatever.
Oh, the captions in the photos?
Well, no, well, those are great too, and that's why I post them on the social media all the time. But like in Visage, you were like, this is Eric Fordman's final appearance as Whitney Fordman on Eric Fordman. This is Whitney Eric. Fordman. What the hell's his name? And this is Eric Johnson's final appearance on Smallville. I'm like, came back for Facade, but you didn't know that. You didn't know they were going to do that. But anyway, do you think they just should have killed Gabe here? I mean, really, if he wasn't going to come back anymore, this would have been at least made. It was to give closure to his character, because for the next 6 years, we're always like, hey, where's Chloe's dad?
It might have been more effective to either have him move out of town.
Well, they already did that with Lana.
Or have him die in the safe house. Like maybe he didn't get down in time.
Okay.
And then that would have given an emotional stakes to what Chloe had been going through.
That's an excellent point. You know, because like, if you're not going to see him anymore, just close the character off.
I'm pretty sure they didn't think about that at the time. It's like, I think I told you about when the first time I was on set was for Promise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was when Lana and Lex are getting married. And I said to Kristen, I was like, I wish they'd bring back Aunt Nell. And she was like, oh, she's back this week.
And then for Bride, you're like, I wish they'd bring back Gabe Sullivan. They told you Gabe's dead, right? They thought Chloe was an orphan, right? Did Alice and Max say that?
No, it was I think it was Al Septien, actually.
Speaking of that whole flashback, we'll just mention it here. So everybody's gone from the safe house, and then Lex shows up, and Clark and Lex have this like awkward look between each other. And Lex calls like his trackers, and they can't find her. And Lex explains to Clark what happened. At the end of season three, we get the flashback. And I'll give them credit. They keep the continuity of whenever Smallville has flashbacks. It's like that kind of overexposed kind of look where it's like, this is a flashback. So I give them credit there, the visual continuity. And we see that those 2 seconds where Chloe closed the door and the house exploded lasted a lot longer than we thought in Covenant.
Yeah, because, right? I mean, she looked like she just had gone boom against the door in the finale.
Right. And then we have, like, this specialist team that comes out of the closets to, like, put them in the underground railroad that Lex says, like, that's why the house had tunnels under it, you know, like, because he knew that his father was going to blow up the house, so he had guys in red there that were ready, and he needed a crew to execute it. That's why he called General Lane. Like, it, to me, it was just very convoluted, and, like, I don't know. Do you think they knew what they were going to do when they blew up Chloe in the safe house?
No idea.
According to Smallville, the official companion, season 4, by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold, it was asked of them if they had considered killing Chloe. And Al Goff said it was never a consideration to keep Chloe dead. So that was never even a, hey, we'll see what we do. Like, they knew they were going to bring her back. You think they would have put her in a more survivable situation. Or, you know what they could have done, Craig? They could have had Chloe make a clone of herself.
C-H-L-O-N-E.
Yeah. Put it in a car, then have, like, a milk truck pass in front of it, and then have it blow up. And then have everyone think she's dead, but then go to live in China with a wig. I think they could have done that as well.
You know, the thing is, though, like, the script for Phantom had a much more gory death for Lana.
Really?
Yeah. She was driving, and, like, the brakes weren't working, and she went off a cliff or something.
Really? Out of a cliff? God. Okay. That's like a death for Lana. Gosh. Anyway. That's your explanation how Chloe survived, guys. Take it or leave it. Definitely think they just should have killed Gabe in the explosion. It would have added some more weight to the situation and some more consequences to pretty much everything that happens in at the end of season 3 has no consequences.
Because it's also like when, I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but it'll make the show go by faster.
Yes.
When they find Chloe, it's just like, you know, she's like hanging and like bloody. And then they find her and she's like all happy, skippy, out the door.
Right.
I'm going to kick Lionel's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Chloe has been kidnapped by the Trent 1000. Trent goes to visit Lionel in prison hospital. So we have a +1 for a hospital visit because Lionel's in the prison infirmary. And Lionel asks him if he did what he asked. And Trent says, no, he wants to get like paid double or something. And then Lionel we have our pathetic attempt to explain how, like, he got mixed up in this whole thing because he wanted to be normal, and Lionel wants to help him and all this stuff. Just, again, the most poorly conceived Freak of the Week on the entire show, right?
Well, also, you know, like, Lionel's like, I can't fathom what that must have been like for you when he was going through medical tests himself all year. I think they were having Lionel not relate to him, but Lionel himself had gone through a lot of tests in the last year.
Well, what is his problem? Like, he's the Team 1000, like, that's a great power to have. Like, what's the problem with that? I mean, he didn't look like a freak, you know? I mean, who knows what his actual, I don't know, maybe it messed up his biology in some way, but just enable. Basically, he's like the secret life of Alex Mack, as opposed to the secret life of Allison Mack, am I right? Heyo.
I thought he was pretty sharp, to tell you the truth.
Heyo, there it is. Thank you very much. I guess they come to some understanding, and he's going to go back and kill Chloe after all, because he had tied Chloe up to, like, as you said, some hook.
Where she could, like, hit the button to push her down.
But they find that Lex gets the phone call from his tracker people, and they find that Chloe's at the foundry. The old foundry where, I guess, Oliver Queen's going to turn into a nightclub, I guess.
I was thinking that, actually.
The foundry.
It also looks like the place where they would film an episode of Arrow.
Exactly. It probably is the same location. So Clark super speeds over there, and Chloe is, you know, we have like the conveyor belt from Attack of the Clones or whatever. Chloe gets out of. But then the Trent 1000 shows up and is going to like kill her with his, you know, with not stab her, but he's going to like choke her. And this actor, God bless him, he has the worst facial expressions of all time.
It's well, like, as if it looks like a giant fork coming from his hand.
Maybe he really wasn't that much pain. They glued it on his hand. But it's almost like they told him, look like you have like really bad constipation the entire time. Yeah. And that's what he looks like. And it's just, you can't take it seriously. It's awful, frankly, to be the climax of the episode. And then we totally get Terminator v. Terminator, right? Because Clark shows up and he kind of pushes him around. And then he does the liquid metal thing and Clark passes through him and all this stuff. And then they get closer and closer to a freaking pit of lava. This is Terminator 2 on a budget, you know. But then, don't worry, Sarah Connor shows up with her electric missile and destroys the T-1000. So it's oh my gosh.
Didn't Lois and Clark technically kill somebody in this scene?
Yep, they did. I don't know if he was not a Smallville High School student, so I mean, to my knowledge, so I'm not going to put it. We made that mistake last time, Craig. They just,
like, killed somebody.
They straight that's up like, did kill somebody.
That's straight up Lana Lang kicking somebody into a pitchfork material.
Which, by the way, Matt Drucks, I'm still waiting for her to kill someone else. Okay, we've been sitting at one for a full season. I hope you're happy. Lana better start killing people soon. That's an excellent point, though, Craig, because they're both liable. Because Lois is electrocuting him with that rifle, and Clark uses heat vision, and the dude just blows up and falls into the lava, just like Terminator 2.
And so, I love that Clark's not concerned about Lois seeing him using his heat vision.
Well, no, the thing is that she thinks that she did it, I guess, with her gun.
I know.
So
the other thing, actually, I was thinking about earlier in the episode too, is when Clark was checking Lois out when he was in the shower, I almost expected his heat vision to go off.
No, he didn't. He wasn't into her. Yeah, that's the thing. Like
bullshit.
They make it like so over the top, like where they don't like each other or whatever. I'm like, no. Isn't it ironic, guys, that they're going to end up together and they don't like each other right now? That trope, I'm so sick of that trope.
Yeah.
And they do it so much while Lois is on the show for the first, let's see, season 4, season 5, season 6, season 7. So anyway,
the Lois and Clark series handled it a lot better, because that Lois was very guarded in general to people. But also you could tell that she kind of like, she liked Clark. She just wasn't going to say anything. But she would do things subtly. And yeah, I don't think there was much subtlety to this.
No, not at all. It was just the anvils, as they used to criticize back in the day.
Yeah. Barn doors.
Yeah, barn doors falling out of the sky. So anyway, everyone's reunited here. Chloe and Clark and Lois. She's like, Lois, what are you doing here? You know, and it's like, that's when I was like, oh, that is cool to like, and kind of legitimizes Lois's presence, because here is Chloe, the person she's supposed to be related to, sharing a scene together, you know, so that's pretty cool. So they walk off and they skip off. And as you said, Chloe says, I feel great. I'm going to go kick Lionel Luther's butt in court tomorrow.
Oh, there's another line after that in the script that addresses something we just said. As they head out, Lois looks at the cauldron, dismayed. Lois goes, it must have been the light or something, but I swear that guy melted. And Chloe goes, I don't keep a wall of weird for nothing.
See, that would have been fine. Like, these little moments. I don't know why I kept snipping them out.
I think now is a good time to bring up on the DVD set, there's a deleted scene that was interesting, because I actually asked Allison when I was doing the season 4 book if there was a scene where Lana found out that Chloe was alive. And she didn't recall it, but there's that. I love that the deleted scene from this episode, especially when Clark sees like the three women in his life and just looks totally overwhelmed.
Yeah, that I love that too, because they're all, everybody comes in and meets. It's before Chloe's getting ready to go into court, and they're, Clark and Lois are there, and then Lana comes in and they hug and all this stuff. And then all three of them go to leave, and like, Clark, are you coming? And he's like, I guess this is my life now, you know, and that's the show now. You know, that's a great transition. Like, here is the new Smallville. There's these three women here and Clark, you know, and that's Smallville now. And it's such a loss they didn't have that in the episode.
I got a laugh out of the line where it's like, you can't do the whole fake your own death thing more than once. And of course, Chloe, season 10.
Yes. And Lana does it herself more than one occasion as well. So,
yeah. So
that was a great scene, and I don't know what they would have taken out to put that in. Maybe the next scene with Lana and Clark in the cave. You know, when she's in the cave and Clark's in the cave. You
realize, though, I mean, it's the WB. There were a lot of young people who were watching this show for Klaana stuff. And they got it in this episode. But that's not as bothersome to me. I cannot hear that stupid She Will Be Loved song without thinking of the scene where it was like the show was telling us you must love Lana Lang.
Before we get to that, I did skip one scene though that I really liked. The Kents at home, they're reading the paper that Lionel is guilty. And interesting turn of events here. Clark is not a fan of Lex, and Jonathan is defending Lex to Clark.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, you got to say, Clark, you know, without Lex, this wouldn't happen, and you kept his promise, and he defended Chloe, and Clark is not having it. I really love that reversal.
I also loved when Lois was taking credit for saving Chloe, and Clark's just like, I helped it. It's like, whatever, Clark.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so glad I found you. He's like, I found you. So, totally.
That was
great. Great little moments. Like, yeah. That's what's tough because there's a lot of great stuff I really love about this episode, and there's a lot of stupid, stupid, stupid crap.
And that's why we need to get to the She Will Be Loved scene.
That's right. So She Will Be Loved, Lana is throwing out is this Adam Knight's old stuff? I don't know. But she's throwing all these boxes out of her apartment in the Talon, and we hear that, you know, Maroon 5, which is like, I don't know, what is early 2000s?
Apparently, even if it's boarded up, Jason could get in. But also, like, I never realized how much more butch Dean Winchester is than Jason Teague, if it makes any sense. Like, when Jensen plays, like, Dean Winchester, he's like, yeah, I'm tough, I'm macho man. But Jason was kind of sensitive when he talked to Lana.
To me, it's he feels so out of place in Smallville now. Like, it's funny, like, when Supernatural first started, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the guy from Smallville, season 4, doing a show. That's cute, right? Because how many other Smallville guest stars went on to do other shows?
Half of them ended up on The Vampire Diaries.
That's correct, yeah. But now it's like, what the hell's Dean Winchester doing on Smallville? Like, it feels reversed now.
I noticed, and, I mean, you don't notice it when you watch, like, Supernatural back-to-back, but it's like, you know, like, well, everybody from the show is this much older. But you didn't really notice Jensen Ackles getting older because we've seen him on TV for the last 14, 15 years. Whereas, I mean, it's different like when you see Tom Welling and Lucifer and you haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
But like Jensen has aged more than I think we realized in 15 years. Because he's like, it's baby Dean Winchester there. And then Kristen Kreuk still looks the same.
Exactly the same. Totally, right? It's crazy.
Like, I mean, you watch Burden of Truth, and it's like Lana looks the same.
Like, cool. I can show you a picture from Burden of Truth season 2, and I dare you, and I'll show you a picture from Smallville season 6, and I dare you to tell me which one is from which.
Well, that line where she said the best ones always start off that way.
Oh, yeah, in the cave. Yeah.
I thought that was from the 5 episodes where she returned in season 8. Like when I would see it in a montage. Oh,
when you see that gif or something or a clip? Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because
again, they are hammering that, and we're kind of jumping around here at the end, but whatever, right? But like they're hammering it a little too hard. But I guess that when they wrote these, they thought these were the only two Lois episodes. So I get it. But in context, it's like, God, guys, back off a little bit. Like,
but also on that note, like I remember seeing the end of, what's the 4th episode of season 4?
Devoted.
The end of Devoted, I thought Lois was gone from the show pretty much forever. And then, of course, we got spoilers that she was back in Spell. Did she return between Spell and Crypto?
No, because we... Well, yes. Yes, totally. Because...
Okay.
Let me pull out my trusty Smallville, The Official Companion, Season 4 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold.
Who doesn't remember what episodes Lois was in.
Spell, okay.
Yeah,
She was not in Bound. She was not in Scare. She was not in. No, she was in Unsafe. Or at least she wasn't in Unsafe. I know she was in Pariah. So, because they have the karaoke at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, yeah. That was random.
And she's there when Clark is with Alicia. And then she's in Recruit. And then, then she's in Crypto. I hit this dog with your car? No, with my fists. I don't even know how we got on that. screen. The end of Devoted. I'm like, you. This is why I thought like Alan Miles must have had some girl in their life called Chloe that broke the heart, because it's like you could not have a bigger middle finger to the fans of Clark and Chloe to be like that. That scene at the end was like, so much for my happy ending, right? And you have Chloe looking at like Clark and Lois like flirting, and you see the revelation on her face, like, oh crap, this guy I've been in love with. My cousin just showed up, and now they're going to get together. This sucks.
I'm going to have to go for my second choice, Green Arrow.
Exactly. Talk about weird, sloppy seconds going on here, right? You have Clark and Chloe, you know, they never really got together, but they had this, you know, they had a long-standing relationship together for years. And then Green Arrow shows up, and him and Lois hook up immediately. But then it ends up with Chloe's with Green Arrow, and Lois is with Clark, and it's just, anyway.
Well, allegedly, part of the reason they couldn't keep Kara on Smallville is because they couldn't pair her up with Clark, obviously, but you know, because they wanted to have their pairings, and it didn't work with her and Jimmy.
No, that was weird.
And it was weird with her and Lex, even though it happened in real life too.
Yes.
Go
after the show was over. After the show was over.
Yeah. You know, it just didn't work. And, you know, I mean, if the show had been in the Arrowverse, you know, because the Arrowverse has been really good about diversity, I think. So you could have had, you know, Kara with, like, Lana or something. I think people would have watched that.
Kara and Lana. Well, so many people want Kara and, excuse me, Kara, as we call her on the Arrowverse, and Lena to get together. I'm like, it's look, guys.
I don't expect it to actually happen. But the two of them have more chemistry with each other
than any other love interest for Kara.
Except for, well, actually, Kara had chemistry with Mon-El because they were together in real life. Uh-huh. And she had chemistry with Cat Grant's son because they were
married. Because she was married in real life.
But so, like her, maybe it's just nobody has chemistry with James.
That's poor James. God bless him.
Anyway,
back to Smallville. Yeah, let's wrap this sucker up. Yeah, we get Lionel actually goes to real prison. That's a cool scene because Lex shows up to tell him, "Hey, Dad, I wouldn't miss this for the world." And he tells Lex, "Wasn't it you who told me don't wound what you can't kill?" So that sets up they're going to have some more conflicts as the season progresses.
And Lionel's not moving around like somebody who had just gotten stabbed. But I like how the other people were kind of like preying on him when he came.
Oh yeah, too. You totally get that vibe, like, oh, I got fresh meat here, you know. So,
well, maybe they saw Lionel in the shower and
you can't blame him. So yeah, but then, you know, they had our Clark and Lana scene in the cave like we talked about, and then we have the last scene.
Oh, and Clark says the bit about like, maybe Lex was my enemy all along.
He does say that. I'm like, I had forgotten that he actually realized this so early.
Yeah,
but then they become friends again. Again, they're pushing the sword forward towards the end, and then they immediately hit the brakes, and they become friends again and all that stuff. But I did like, I had forgotten how much they actually still talked about the caves. Like, season four is the last hurrah, because then they turn down the set and build the Fortress of Solitude.
Right.
But there is a lot of cave stuff. So, yeah, so that was cool. And then we got our last scene with She Will Be Loved. And as like with you, Craig, that song is forever ruined for me. I believe that song is on the Metropolis mix.
Yeah.
Smallville Volume 2.
If you get to it, you know, when you do your links on your site, on your Facebook page, I reviewed the Metropolis mix. And I think I even said in the review, I'm like, every other song is just telling us how beautiful Lana is.
I
love Lana.
I like Maroon 5. I really do.
But I'm sick of that song.
Yeah, totally.
You're two for two. You keep showing up when I least expect to see you.
I'm not trying to surprise you, Clark.
I know, it's just when you left, I wasn't sure when I'd see you again.
It's funny, isn't it? After everything we've been through. I thought it would take us longer to get over it.
Us?
Yeah, you and Lois.
Lois? She's bossy. She's stuck up, she's rude. I can't stand her.
The best ones always start that way. Do you believe in destiny?
I don't want to.
But you can't escape it, can you? Even if you don't know what it is yet?
Lana, what is it you're not telling me? Does it have something to do with this guy you met?
No, no. No, it doesn't. But I'm sorry that you found out the way you did. I should go.
Gone got a 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 2 out of 5. So, Craig, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Gone?
I'd give it a B, because it wasn't a bad episode, and I loved the Lois stuff. I loved them finding Chloe, but then you had things like the Trent 1000, which was lame, and you had scenes like that really good deleted scene that should have been in the episode.
But it's just the Dr. Swan stuff, what could have been, but you can't judge it for that.
Yeah, but, you know, I was still riding high, like, when I was watching this originally, and even now, riding high on the introduction of Lois, and it was just a fun, fresh feeling. But, you know, I mean, there were negatives to it, obviously, and seeing General Lane was cool. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a B.
I'm going to give it a B-. You know, this had a lot of bad, stupid stuff, like we were talking about, like a Trent 1000, but... there was a lot of great stuff with Lois, and the stuff with Lex and Lionel is great as always. General Sam Lane, as you said, Michael Ironside, what a great get. He does come back for one more episode in season 4 to establish that Lois didn't graduate from high school. And then he comes back in season 10. So I wish they would have used him more, but apparently the people behind the show didn't think we cared. So yeah, I'm gonna give this a B minus. I liked it more now than I did back then, and I'm curious to see if this trend continues with season 4, but we're coming up on a couple of... couple of questionable ones coming up here, so it'll be fun to see if the trend continues. But a B for you, a B minus for me. Let's go to the tally board. We only have one tally board edition this week. We have plus one for hospital visit because Lionel gets stabbed and goes to the infirmary at the prison, so that brings us to 48 hospital visits so far.
Do you count and how many times Clark throws people?
You know, I don't. But yeah, I keep adding things to the tally boards. I need to stop at some point because it's going to become this monster. But anyway, we did pass the Bechdel test this week with various conversations between Lois and Lana and yeah. So it's good to see. I knew this was going to happen when Lois showed up. We're going to be passing the Bechdel test a lot more on the show.
Hopefully.
So. All right, Craig. Well, there it is, man. Thank you so much for being on the episode. I know you had a lot of things to say about the transition into season 4, and then also having the Gone script, man. That's awesome. So yeah, it's a real missed opportunity. Yeah.
And now we're going to be gone. So
there it is. What a perfect transition. So Craig, if people want to find you out there on the internet, they probably know, but tell them again anyway. Where can they find you?
KryptonSiteStillExists.com. No, just. Krypton Site, K-Site TV, Green Arrow TV, Flash TV News, etc. Also, if you can find it on Amazon, check out the Season 4 companion book. Unfortunately, the sales won't help me at all. Like, they're not going to say, Craig, do Seasons 8 through 10, although that would be my dream. But still, if you want to know more about Season 4, I mean, it was so much fun to put together those books, to be honest with you. Like, to, you know, be able to go to the set and interview like random people, like makeup people and hair people, and just hear the stories of the people who worked on the show, and also to get the answers from the people involved, like, so what were you thinking when you did this? And, you know, I mean, there were some people who just gave some really good stories that you can find in the books starting with season 4, but not Tom Welling.
Well, there you have it. Well, Craig, it's always fun talking to you about this stuff, and you always have so many fun stories and tangents. Again, having the exclusive stuff for the Gone script was great, and I look forward to you having a chance to transcribe it and post it on our Krypton site soon coming up. So, as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at AlwaysSolonSmallville, and you can send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. And as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcast network. And you can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. Well, there it is, Craig. It was another great conversation, and it's time for us to be gone. Next week, we'll be back talking about Facade. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.
I'm so glad I don't have to talk about Facade.